Be it unto me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read two things that are familiar to us in the Book of Common Prayer, from the morning office and in the evening office. The first is the Benedictus. This is the father of John the Baptist, as he talks about who will come forth. And it goes, it's from Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, starting at the 68th verse. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a mighty salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the oath which he sware to our forefather Abraham, that he would give us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, speaking of John the Baptist, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and our guide our feet in the way of peace. The words of Zacharias. When the angel Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, came to visit him, he asked how could this happen to his wife Elizabeth, who was well stricken in years, both of them well stricken in years, and dared to ask the archangel, how can this be? We're aged. And of course, Zacharias could not speak. He'd been in the temple, he was offering the incense, and he came out and nobody could speak. He couldn't speak. But when he realized, when he named his people around him, said, name the child after yourself, Zacharias. He said, no, his name shall be John. He had to write down on a board. And as soon as he said it, his voice came back, and he recited these words, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. His voice came back because he obeyed God. He believed God. Sometimes we have doubts, and yet when we believe, light comes to us, and as it were, our speech comes back to us when we acknowledge what God's done in us. So this is the forerunner of our Lord, of course. And then with the visitation of Mary, she visits Elizabeth, and Mary, of course, is Lord Jesus growing inside of her, which is, her womb is actually the first tabernacle of the church. When she comes to her, the Holy Ghost fills the child John in the womb of Elizabeth. He jumps for joy in the womb because of the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Holy Ghost. Mary, for her part, when she obeys the Lord, she instantly accepts. How she asks how these things will be, and the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon. We know the story. And then she realizes that she herself, like all of us, needs a Savior. And yet she was Theotokos. She was the God-bearer. And she speaks these words, again, very familiar to us if we read the evening office. But they are new every time we read them. Again, it's from St. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, starting at the 46th verse. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble and meek. It filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He, remembering his mercy, hath hope in his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. The words of the Blessed Mother. A commentary on that was written by St. Bede on St. Luke's Gospel. And he says thus, the Magnificat. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Lord," she said, "has exalted me with a great and unheard of gift, which cannot be explained in any words and can scarcely be understood by the deepest feelings of the heart. And so I offer up all the strength of my soul in thanksgiving and praise. In my joy, I pour out all my life, all my feeling, all my understanding in contemplating the greatness of Him who is without end. My spirit receives in the eternal divinity of Jesus, my Savior, whom I have conceived in time and bear in my body. For he who is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary looks back to the beginning of the canticle, to the words, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Only the soul for whom the Lord does great things can glorify and praise him as he deserves. Only that soul can call on those who share the same desire and intent. "Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise his name," she says. The man who refuses to glorify with all his power the Lord whom he knows and to keep his name holy will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. God's name is called holy because he transcends the whole of creation by the loftiness of his unparalleled power and because he is set apart from all those things which he has made. He has lifted up Israel, his child, remembering his mercy. In beautiful fashion, Mary calls Israel the child of the Lord, for Israel has been lifted up by him to be saved, seeing that Israel was obedient and humble in accordance with the words of Hosea, "Because Israel was I a child, I loved him." Now anyone who refused to humble himself simply cannot be saved, nor can he say with the prophet, "Behold, the Lord is my helper. It is God who lifts up my life, but whoever humbles himself like a child is a grace in the kingdom of heaven." She continues, as he spoke to her fathers, to Abraham and his posterity forever. Mary does not mean the natural, but the spiritual posterity of Abraham. That is, not those who have only descended from him physically, but those who follow in the steps of his faith, whether they are circumcised or uncircumcised. For he too believed, while uncircumcised, it was considered as justifying him. The coming of his Savior, therefore, was promised to Abraham and to his posterity forever. That is, to the children of the promise, to whom are addressed the words, "If he believed."